Welcome to The Rabbi and the CEO, separating fact from fiction and Bubba Mises from the bottom line. With your hosts, Rabbi David Vigler of Habata Palm Beach Gardens and CEO Mitch Zachary of Zachary Financial Consultants. Join the conversation through email, rabbi@jewishgardens.com. Watch the show on Facebook Live, facebook.com/gardensrabbi. Now here are your hosts, Rabbi David Vigler and CEO Mitch Zachary.
Separating the facts from the fiction, the Bubba Mises from the bottom line. You're listening to The Schmooze with the Rabbi and the CEO. I'm Rabbi David Vigler of Habata Palm Beach Gardens, where you'll find traditional Jewish values for contemporary Jews, cosmopolitan Jews, and sophisticated Jews just like yourself. My co-host Mitch Zachary is away out of town today. Filling in for him is another CEO, Steve Lapa of Lapcom Communications, who also happens to be our producer. Good morning, Steve. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Rabbi Vigler. I have such big shoes to fill. I don't know. Mitch, if you're listening somewhere between here and the Carolinas, it's an honor to sit in for you, and I'm up for the challenge this morning, Rabbi Vigler.
Great. You're on audition.
Yes. After 40 years, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. With a tremendous history in communications, radio, and marketing, it's a pleasure, a real honor to have you here with us in the studio. Steve, thank you very much for all that you're doing for us here at Shmooze Radio. I want to start us off here by wishing you a good yontif.
Good yontif to you too, and your family.
Chag Sameach, a Jewish, happy holiday. Because today's a Jewish holiday. You know, we Jews, we don't have a shortage of Jewish holidays.
Yes, it's a very unusual Jewish holiday, right?
Yeah, because a lot of people never even heard of this Jewish holiday. It happens to be Passover today.
You're kidding. The matzah, the wine, it's done, right? No? There's more.
There is more to the story. So here's what happened. In the biblical story of Passover, it's very different to the way that we observe Passover here today in 2018. You see, in biblical times, the way the Passover was observed was very farm-associated, farm-oriented. What we did was that we would go to we'd all have to go to the temple in Jerusalem, bringing your sheep or your goat, and the entire family would have to eat every last morsel of meat on that sheep or goat as your paschal sacrifice, remembering the fact that God passed over the homes of the Jewish people during the plague of the firstborn in Egypt whilst they had smeared the blood of the paschal sacrifice on the doorposts of their homes. A little connected to the mezuzah, you know, the mezuzah of today. So the way that happened was that when you brought a sacrifice in temple times to the temple, you needed to be in a state of ritual purity, which is really a foreign concept to us today. We can almost not relate to this concept at all. I mean, Steve, in your opinion, I mean, do you have any connection to the laws of purity or impurity? I mean, we can relate to Shabbos. We can relate to the laws of kosher. We can relate to even a yarmulke and a mezuzah. But in your experience, in your Judaic experience, do you encounter any purity or impurity laws?
I think that is one of the most challenging concepts to not only visualize but to act out. Every Yom Kippur, it's so meaningful to read about what the Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol had to do, right? Just to prepare, and the special prayers that they had to say before they could even pray on behalf of a congregation, and how they had to prepare. That's an incredible process, right?
So you're inspired by the spiritual preparation of the priests on Yom Kippur, which, by the way, was yesterday's Torah reading in the synagogues around the world. Yesterday, it's amazing, divine providence that you brought that up, is where we mention the spiritual service of the priests on Yom Kippur. Just happens to be. But yeah, I mean, it definitely is out of the box. It's not the kind of Judaism we're accustomed to experiencing. You know, they had to go to the mikveh. They had to dip in the mikveh 5 times on Yom Kippur. The high priest needed to dip in the mikveh in the ritual bath in order to make sure that they were in a state of ritual purity. And even today, you know, a priest is not supposed to. A priest would be someone who's descended from the family of Aaron in the tribe of Levi. Such a person, and we know them all the time. Anybody whose last name is Cohen, basically, for the most part, anybody whose last name is Cohen is typically going to be a priestly family, and they would be subject to the laws of ritual purity, which means today that they're not actually allowed to walk into a Jewish cemetery.
Wow.
Did you know that a rabbi who happens to be a Cohen, is not allowed to do funerals?
Wow.
He's barely allowed to even walk into a hospital because of the likelihood of there being dead people in the mortuary.
Right.
Which would be in the same building that he's entering, because a priest is not allowed to be in a state of ritual impurity. He's not allowed to go to, he's not allowed to defile himself. And one more experience that we actually do experience from the laws of purity and impurity before we connect it to Passover today is that, do you have any idea why we wash our hands before we eat bread? It's a major part of our tradition.
Yes, it is.
Major. Everybody knows we have to wash before we eat bread, but why? Why are we washing before we eat bread? Do you have any idea, Steve?
I would assume to be clean.
Okay, so why only before bread? Why right. not before cake? Why not before fish or meat? I mean, like what? There's only germs when it comes to bread.
There has to be a meaning here, right? There's a meaning.
And by the way, part of the mystery is this whole thing about not talking. Right. After you wash for bread, you're not allowed to talk. It's this whole thing. Everybody gets very stressed out. Until you eat the bread, you're not allowed to talk. Have you ever heard of this concept before, Colin? Colin, never heard of this, right? That we Jews, before we eat bread, it's like a whole, it's a whole experience. Before we eat bread, we're like, okay, do we have time to wash hands for bread? We got to find the sink. We got to find the towel. You know, the Gentiles, they want to eat bread. They just eat bread. No big deal. We Jews, we have to go. We have to find the wash station. What do you think, Colin? You ever heard of this before?
No, but it just seems like normal cleanliness that a normal human being would go through that I would, you know, deem common sense to do.
Which, by the way, Colin, actually worked very much in our favor during the Black Plague. Very much in our favor and disfavor during the Black Plague. You know, in the Middle Ages when all the people were dying in Europe from cholera. So the Jews were dying proportionately much, much less than their non-Jewish counterparts.
Because they were washing their hands?
Because they're washing their hands. Nobody knew about germs. Nobody had any idea. In fact, it was very much in our disadvantage because the anti-Semites thought that the Jews who were not dying had poisoned the water. So those Jews that had survived the germs of cholera were actually being killed by the mobs of anti-Semites who thought that the Jews were poisoning the wells. So that didn't work out too well for us. But the point was that we were washing our hands before eating bread, which we've learned in subsequent decades. Is actually very, very good for us. But anyways, back to the point. So why do we wash our hands?
So what does the bread represent that we wash our hands? And you can't talk.
And you can't talk. Separating the facts from the fiction, the Bubba Mises from the bottom line. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to The Schmooze with the rabbi and the CEO. Today's CEO, filling in for Mitch Zachary, is Steve Lapa, CEO of Lapcom Communications with an extensive history in radio marketing, radio stations, and public relations. He's our producer, Steve Lapa. I'm the rabbi, Rabbi David Vigler of Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens, where you'll find traditional Jewish values for contemporary Jews, just like you. We're talking right now about the Jewish holiday today, which is the holiday of Pesach Sheni, the second Passover. It's probably the most famous Jewish holiday that you've never heard about.
Right, there you go.
Pesach Sheni, the second Passover, the most famous Jewish holiday that you've never heard about. We'll be talking about that in a few moments. By the way, we also have a special guest coming up in a few minutes on the show, and that is Rabbi Mendy Katz of the Aleph Institute, which is a global organization that helps take care of the needs of Jewish prisoners in jails, prisons, mental institutions, as well as in the U.S. Armed Forces. Fascinating conversation coming up. Rabbi Mendy Katz coming up in just a few minutes, so stay tuned. But to answer your question, Steve, why do we wash our hands before bread? It's because in biblical times, the priests needed to eat their sanctified foods under a state of ritual purity. Today, when we don't have a temple, we could easily and quickly forget the laws of purity and impurity. We could easily forget that certain foods needed to be eaten in a state of purity in biblical times and also in the future when Mashiach, the Messiah, will come. Therefore, we wash our hands before eating bread.
Why bread?
Because bread is the most important food. So when we wash our hands, we're experiencing a miniature form of mikvah. A miniature form of ritual bathing. It's only the hands. It's a miniature form of ritual purity in order to make sure that we always remember, we never forget. Over 2,000 years of spiritual exile, of the destruction of our temple, we'll remember that when Mashiach comes, we have to eat certain foods under a state of ritual purity. Now, why do we not talk between the washing of the hands and the eating of the bread? The reason is because the hands are very, very busy. Our hands are always on the move. If you're talking, then you wouldn't notice your hand goes into an armpit, your hand goes, scratches your head, your head scratches your hand scratches your knee, and before you know it, your hand becomes impure. By not talking, between the washing on the bread and the eating of the bread, you're cognizant of the conduct of your hands, and you're making sure that they stay in a state of ritual purity. So that's the reason. Does that, you okay with that, Steve?
If people could see you on Facebook Live and watch your hands,
right? So you know the old joke, it says that how do you silence an Italian or a Jew, you know? If you want to stop an Italian or a Jew from speaking, what do you have to do?
Tie their hands.
Just tie their hands behind the back, right? Because we're very very hands oriented speakers. In any event, Steve, what does this have to do with the Yontif, the holiday of today? Because today is the second Passover. Why do we have a second Passover? Because in biblical times, when Moses taught the Jewish people about the Jewish holiday of Passover and its incredible spiritual encounters, they were Jews who were not ritually pure.
What would be an example?
For example, if they touched or came in contact with a dead body within 7 days before Passover. That would be a classic example. Or maybe they touched one of the eight rodents, which are impure. I remember I had a hamster once when I was a kid. Oh, Steve, my father looks at me. My father's a rabbi in South Africa. He looks at me, his son, the rabbi's son. You know, let me tell you, I must have been 9, 8 years old.
Why would you have a hamster? Why?
It was an albino hamster, Steve. It was beautiful. He had pink eyes. Her name was Candy. Her name was Candy. This is my pride and joy. And my father, the rabbi, is looking at his pride and joy. His son, you know, the rabbi's son. And he's like, son, David, you know that this is one of the most ritually impure creatures on the face of this earth? I mean, I have to admit, I felt a little bit bad.
A little.
But let me tell you, my hamster mysteriously disappeared a couple nights later. I never found out exactly what happened. But I must admit that after I got a chance to think about it, I realized that was a rat. It was just a white rat. Yuck. It was gross. I can't believe that I actually had this rat, you know, as my pet, so to speak. Whatever.
A lot of rats in South Africa?
Not nearly as many as New York. Not near, and the size of them in New York. Oh my God, that's terrifying.
Yes, that's right. They're like dogs, I know.
Sheesh. Brutal, man.
Anyway, back
to the Jewish holiday of today. You're listening to the Shmooze with the Rabbi and the CEO, Steve Lapa of Lapcom Communications. CEO is our guest CEO this morning, filling in for Mitch Zachary. I'm Rabbi David Vigler of Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens, where you'll find traditional Jewish values for contemporary Jews just like you. If you'd like to join the conversation or send me your feedback, just send it to rabbi@jewishgardens.com. We'd love to hear from you. That's rabbi@jewishgardens.com. Email address, rabbi@jewishgardens.com. And today's Jewish holiday, the second Passover, is because on the first Passover, when the Jewish people, there were some of them that were in a state of ritual impurity. And they complained to Moses. They said, Lama Nigara, why should we be left out? Why should we be excluded? Just because we are in a state of ritual impurity, why should we not be allowed to bring the Paschal sacrifice in the temple because you're only allowed to bring it in a state of purity? So Moses says, you're right. He consulted with God, and God said those who were in a state of ritual impurity during the first Passover, those who were not able to bring the sacrifices of Passover the first time around, have a second chance. They have a second chance, and that's exactly 30 days later when you are now allowed to bring the Paschal sacrifice on the second Passover. So today is only Passover for people that weren't able to observe the first Passover, which is why it's the most famous Jewish holiday that you've never heard of, because it's the second Passover for people in a state of ritual impurity. Ideologically, however, the message is profound. Because when we think of Passover, I want you to just envision those Jews coming to Moses. Just think of the scene here, Steve. These Jews coming to Moses, and they weren't exactly, paradigm of piety. Because the Torah tells us that some of these guys that came to Moses to complain that they weren't able to observe the first Passover weren't exactly innocent. Some of them were deliberately negligent in preparing themselves properly for Passover. Yet they came to Moses and they said, look, we feel bad. We want a second chance. And Moses said, you got it. The second Passover reminds us that it is never, ever too late to correct the mistakes of the past. It's never too late to fix, even the deliberate errors of yesterday. So as you listen to this radio show right now, as you're joining us here this morning with your bagel, with your cream cheese, as you're listening maybe on the way to the golf course or in your car, I want you to know, I want you to think about the mistakes of your life. I want you to think about the broken relationship that you might have with a person that you love, but you don't like very much. I want you to think about maybe your brother-in-law that you wish you could, you know, reconcile with. Maybe even someone who's deceased that you wished you could have ended up properly with. Maybe, and if it's not just relationships, maybe it's a relationship with God as well. Maybe you're thinking that, you know, I could have done better. I'm not speaking financially right now. I'm not speaking, you know, that's going to be the CEO's angle. You're going to have to spin that one, Mitch, Steve. But I'm speaking from a spiritual perspective, from an emotional perspective, from a social perspective. If you aren't the person that you wished you could have become, the lesson we learn from Passover, the second Passover, the second Pesach, which is today's Yontif, today's holiday, is that even if your mistakes, not only can you fix your mistakes, but you can even fix the mistakes that you made deliberately. How does that sound to you, Steve?
Well, my first question is, there were other observances where you had to bring sacrifice, right?
Right.
Passover wasn't the only one.
Right.
So why does the second chance concept connect to Passover?
That's a great question. That's a great question.
Did I win a prize, stump the rabbi, something?
You know, I think, by the way, that you might have stumped me over there, because I don't think I know the answer to that question.
You're kidding. Call your dad. Call your dad.
Hang on. Let me think. Let me think. Lifeline here, right? Let me think a second. Should we go to commercial break so I can think of it? No, I'm joking.
Yes.
I'm joking.
No. Call
it. I want to give an answer. So when it comes to the other festivals, look, the reason why this would be a difficult answer to a difficult question to answer is only because the laws of purity and impurity are so foreign to our ordinary daily experience. It's not the kind of question that a rabbi would say, oh, yeah, of course, I deal with that all the time. I don't, because nobody deals with states of ritual impurity when it comes to offering sacrifices and supplementary sacrifices. But I do know that almost all the Jewish holidays do have an element of filling in a second chance, so to speak. The reason why it's so popular about Passover is because Passover has got a whole yontiv associated with it. It's 30 days later. It's called the Pesach Sheni, and it was born out of the people complaining that they didn't have an opportunity to do it the first time around. So really, it was, even though it applies to the other Jewish holidays as well, which also have the ability to fill in your sacrifices later on, nevertheless, and by the way, one more reason is because the Paschal offering has got to be so specific to time. It's got to be within a matter of 12 hours when you bring that Passover offering. And that's why you got a very small window of opportunity to be ritually pure in biblical times to bring that sacrifice. So that's more why it's focused on the Passover story, even though it certainly you have the second chance in other Jewish festivals as well. But the message is so inspiring, don't you think?
Very deep, right? It's very deep.
Isn't it incredibly empowering when you realize that you're not chained by the bad choices of your past, and that you have the ability to really fix them, to turn them around, to, you know, in the stories, and the Talmud tells us a fascinating concept. I want to take this one step further, Steve. Again, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Shmooze of the Rabbi and the CEO. CEO Mitch Zachary is out of town today. Filling in for him is our producer, CEO of Lapcom Communications, is Steve Lapa. I'm Rabbi David Vigler of Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens, where you'll find traditional Jewish values for contemporary Jews just like you. You can join the conversation by calling in at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960 to share your thoughts and feedback. Coming up in just a few short moments, we have the CEO of the Aleph Institute, which is an organization dedicated to fixing the past errors. It's an organization that is out of Bell Harbor, Florida, which is devoted to people who have made terrible choices and helping them rebuild their shattered lives. It's devoted to Jewish prisoners and people in similar situations that need help picking themselves up and moving on to their rebuilt future. And that's Rabbi Mendy Katz of the Aleph Institute coming up in a few short moments. But I want to share with you a quick story from the Talmud on the theme of today's Yontif, today's Jewish holiday, which is the second Passover. Again, it was because Jewish people were not able to observe Passover the first time with Moses. They were in the state of ritual impurity. Moses tells them that if you were unable to do it the first time around, you've got a second chance. The second chance would be a month after Passover, which is today's date, when you can try again, because it's never ever too late. The Talmud tells us a fascinating story of a fellow by the name of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish actually means, you've heard of this guy?
No.
It actually means, Reish Lakish means the head of the bandits. He was a highwayman. He was the rabbi called the highwayman rabbi, because he used to be a bandit. And he was a very good bandit at that. One day, he was jumping over the Jordan River in a great display of strength when he noticed there was a very beautiful person that was bathing in the Jordan River. So as he's jumping over, the person who's bathing in the river notices how strong he is and says, "You should devote your strength to Torah study. Chelech le'oraita. You should devote your strength to the Torah study." So this guy, Reish Lakish, the highwayman, says, "Well, you are such a beautiful person. You should devote your beauty to women. Yofyech le'nashim." In other words, don't tell me to become more spiritual. You should become more physical. In other words, you should become like a male prostitute or something, because you would do very well in that industry. So the rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan, who was bathing in the river, he said, "I'll make you a deal. I'll accept your offer if you accept mine." What does that mean? In other words, my sister is just as beautiful, in fact, more beautiful as I am. I will give you my beauty in feminine form. I will give you my sister as a wife if you agree to devote your strength to Torah study. And so it was that Reish Lakish, the head of the highwaymen, became a Torah scholar, and he married Rabbi Yochanan's sister. Right, he married Rabbi Yochanan's sister. Together, these two became one of the greatest pairs of sages in all of Jewish history. In all of the Talmud, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish clarify some of the most complex laws in all of Jewish culture. And it was Reish Lakish, this person who rebuilt his life from a highwayman to become a great rabbinic leader. He was the one who said that through effective teshuvah, through effective repentance, a person is able to either turn their deliberate errors, deliberate sins, into erroneous sins, into mistakes, or through an even deeper teshuvah, an even deeper repentance, a person can turn their deliberate errors, their deliberate sins, into mitzvahs.
How do you do that?
Now, that's going to require a little bit more conversation. But before we do that, before we can talk about how you can change your past and how the Talmud tells us this magnificent insight into how your sins can become mitzvahs, which is a mind-blowing concept, we'll be talking about that in a few minutes. We'll be right back right after this with our special guest this morning from the Aleph Institute. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Are you confused or just plain bored by the new tax laws? The professionals at Zachary Financial Consultants have studied every line of the 1,000-page bill and know all the ways that you can benefit from it, as well as all of the hidden traps you need to avoid. If you're a business owner, you may be able to save tens of thousands of dollars in taxes. But in order to take advantage of them, you may have to make some changes. The professionals at Zachary Financial Consultants can easily guide you through these muddy waters. Having over 37 years of financial experience, the staff at Zachary Financial Consultants include CPAs, certified financial planners, and attorneys. They regularly assist their clients in making sure they're maximizing their after-tax investment performance, that their families are adequately protected in case of a catastrophe, and in providing a customized financial plan which they help to implement and monitor. At Zachary Financial Consultants, every client is treated with personalized care as if they were part of the family. You can speak directly with the CEO, Mitch Zachary, at 561-508-8446, or email him at mzachary@zacharyfinancial.com. They are conveniently located in Palm Beach Gardens, and they offer free consultations. That's Zachary Financial Consultants, 561-508-8446.
They say that caring for the elderly is a profession of the heart. As the director of home health care at Morse Life, I know that to be true. When I see an older person feeling safe and secure at home, I know I've done my job. To make a difference, to show compassion, dignity, and respect, it's not just our job, it's our mission.
Morse Life Home Health Care. Morse Life Health System, honoring senior living.
Call 561-471-5111 or visit morselife.org.
This is the sound of happy children. It's how we believe kids should feel about Hebrew school. At Chabad Hebrew School, learning is always fun, and kids don't want to miss a day. Give your children the greatest gift of all, the gift of a strong Jewish identity through a solid Jewish education. Sundays, 10 a.m. to noon at Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens. See it to believe it. Call us at 561-624-2223 to schedule an appointment. That's 561-624-2223 or 561-6-CHABAD, C-H-A-B-A-D, or online at jewishgardens.com. Chabad Hebrew School. Teach them today for a brighter tomorrow.
Welcome back to The Rabbi and the CEO. Watch the show live on Facebook, facebook.com/gardensrabbi. Now, back to your hosts, Rabbi Dovid Vigler and CEO Mitch Zachary.
Separating the facts from the fiction, the Bubba Mises from the bottom line. Good morning and welcome back to The Schmooze with The Rabbi and the CEO. Mitch Zachary is out of town this week, but filling in for him is our producer, Lapcom Communications CEO, and that is Steve Lapa, who's filling in today, the rabbi and the CEO, bringing heaven down to earth and the connection between Jewish spirituality and down-to-earth harsh reality, making sure that I don't get lost in the message and making sure that I'm grounded, right?
Yes, I'm trying to fill these huge shoes that Mitch left on the floor. But I'm trying.
Today is a Jewish holiday. We wish you all a good yantiv, Chag Sameach, because today is Pesach Sheni. It's the second Passover, the festival that celebrates second chances and our ability to make amends for our mistakes, as in biblical times when there were certain Jews that were unable to observe the Passover ritual the first time round. They were given the second yantiv, the second holiday of Passover, to be able to observe all the rituals the second time round, 30 days later. It's for this reason that we welcome our special guest this morning on the phone here in Shmooze Radio, who's talking about an organization dedicated to second chances. The Aleph Institute helps Jewish prisoners who have made difficult decisions and bad choices in their lives to rebuild their shattered lives. It also helps soldiers, Jewish soldiers in the military, who of course have made very good choices to be able to join the military as they are engaged in serving for their country. On the line is Rabbi Mendy Katz of the Aleph Institute. Good morning, Rabbi Mendy Katz, and welcome to the Schmooze.
Good morning.
A pleasure to have you here with us, with the Rabbi and the CEO, Steve Lapa, and myself. We are in awe of the work that you guys do at the Aleph Institute. Please, would you share with us, what is it that the Aleph Institute really does for our fellow Jews?
So the Aleph Institute was founded about 37 years ago by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem Schneerson. And the Rebbe was talking about helping Jewish prisoners for years before that. There were many, many talks that he gave and directives that he gave to specifically reach out to Jewish prisoners around the United States and around the world. And the Rebbe said something very interesting. He said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oyev Es HaNirdof, that God loves those that are downtrodden, that are chaste, and that we have to make a special effort to help those in this most difficult situation. And he said that it's the most inhumane and painful situation to be in prison, because prison takes away anyone's ability to be productive, and God created man and humankind to be productive. So when you take away the ability of a human to be productive, that is the most difficult situation to be in, a lot worse than being sick in a hospital, etc., etc. So this has been Aleph's mission statement in the last 37 years to reach out and show love for every single Jew, regardless of their past and regardless of the bad choices they made. We are all human. We all make bad choices. Some people get caught. Some people don't get caught. People make worse choices, and some people don't make such bad choices. But what we do is, first and foremost, to assure that every single Jew can observe and practice, if they choose so, and we provide all the necessary materials and lots of visiting and making sure that if there's a 10 Jewish men, that there could be a minyan for high holidays and so on and so forth. We just finished Passover. We sent probably 100 pallets of food into prisons around the country so Jewish inmates can observe Passover properly. And this is what we do throughout the year. We provide hundreds of pairs of tefillin and tzitzis and siddurim and chumashim. So there's, you know, any Jew that's in jail or prison anywhere in the United States has no issue whatsoever observing the Jewish religion. And, you know, many other aspects. We'll be here for a month. We talk about every aspect, but of course we assist them with, you know, issues of anti-Semitism and trying to assist them to with reentry, that they come back and live law-abiding lives and working with the families, etc.
Amazing. Rabbi Mendy Katz is our guest this morning on Shmooze Radio. We're separating the facts from the fiction, the Bubba Mises from the bottom line, as we do every Sunday morning here for 9 years already on in Florida and in New York. It's the rabbi and the CEO, Steve Lapa, is today's CEO. I'm Rabbi David Vigler of Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens, where you'll find traditional Jewish values for contemporary Jews just like you and any Chabad center in the world for that matter. You can find at jewishgardens.com/centers. Rabbi Mendy Katz talking to us about the Aleph Institute and how they help rehabilitate the broken lives of the Jewish prisoners in the United States of America. I'm deeply touched by your comment over there, how we all make bad decisions. Some of us get caught and some of us don't, and therefore we shouldn't hold those who do get caught to some impossible standard. Rabbi Katz, if you could please tell us, how does it work with kosher in the prisons in Florida? Are all Jewish prisoners able to get kosher food?
So the federal prisons, you know, have had kosher food for a long time. You know, and each county jail is different. You know, Miami-Dade County has had and Broward have had kosher for a pretty long time, and you know, and so on and so forth. Each county is different, but the state of Florida was quite unique because it was one of the only states in the country that did not provide kosher food for many, many years, and this was a battle that Aleph was fighting for many years, and I personally was involved in the battle for probably 20 years myself. And we worked, you know, politically, we worked with governors, we worked in any way, shape, or form with lawsuits, and nothing ended up working. At the end, after 24 years of fighting, we finally got the United States Department of Justice to sue the state of Florida.
Wow.
And the state of Florida... either they won, I think, I'm not sure, I don't remember exactly the second what happened, whether they won or they made a deal, but now there is finally kosher in the state of Florida. It's not the best of food, it's a lot of sardines and peanut butter, and but it's kosher. If someone, you know, if someone does want to keep kosher, they can keep kosher. So that's something that that was a long, long battle and finally won, and We're still working with the Department of Corrections to make it a little better. We've made some small improvements, and we had actually a very good improvement for Passover this year. The Jewish inmates were able to observe kosher for Passover as well. So we're still working it and trying to tweak it and trying to make it a little better. We also have arranged with the Department of Corrections that there is a full line of kosher food available for purchase by inmates, so those who can afford it. Really, almost anything they need is available there, from matzah to gefilte fish to
Can they get like rib steaks
salami.
And stuff? They can get like good stuff?
No rib steaks, but bagel and cream cheese. We got bagel and cream cheese.
That's
now
a good start. Today is a yuntiv, a Jewish holiday. It's the holiday of Passover, second Passover today. For those who weren't able to make the first Passover for whatever reason, today is the makeup day, and therefore it's the day where we celebrate second chances and the ability to rebuild broken lives and bad mistakes. On the line is our guest this morning, Rabbi Mendy Katz, the director of the Aleph Institute, which is an organization dedicated to helping our fellow Jews here in America to rebuild their lives after difficult choices that they have made in that lead them to staying to spending an extended period of time in prison. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a call at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960. My question to you, Rabbi Mendy Katz, is what message do you give to the individual prisoners? It's very, very impressive how you're dealing with the Department of Justice and the state of Florida. I'm sure you're doing this across the country to make sure that every single inmate is taken care of. But the question is, what message of hope are you able to share with the individual broken-spirited prisoner to be able to bring him hope and vision for the future?
So, I mean, the message is the same for everyone, but when a person is in that difficult situation, you know, it's harder sometimes to get through. But on the other hand, you know, they understand that, you know, that they know better than anyone that God runs the world and that everything anything is possible. So the message is, of course, that regardless of the situation we're in, that we're still can connect with God and we can still fulfill commandments. And we could still fulfill our purpose on this earth, regardless of whatever hand that's dealt us, whatever situation we find ourselves in. And we find that many inmates, even with life sentences, wow, with absolutely no hope of ever getting out, really embrace their opportunity to serve God and to put on tefillin every day and to study Torah and to fulfill commandments. And they cherish that, and they cherish that opportunity and understand how difficult it could be to observe and practice in prison. And they take advantage of the opportunities given them, and they really spend time studying Torah and fulfilling commandments and really serving God and appreciating it. So it's something that I think we could all take a lesson from, especially today on the second Passover, when God gives us a second chance, and we have to realize that it's never too late. We may be 50, 60, 70 years old, 80 years old. We could still change our behavior. We could still start putting on tefillin tomorrow or today, start eating kosher, start keeping Shabbat, and it's never too late. That's the message of today, that it's never too late to start, and you know, Jewish inmates around the country understand that message.
What a great message.
And act upon it.
So touching. Thank you for sharing those beautiful thoughts. On the line, we have Ed from West Palm Beach. Good morning, Ed. Welcome to the Shmooze.
Good morning, Rabbi Ziegler and Rabbi Katz. I'm glad that I'm able to say hello this morning.
What's in your mind, Ed?
Well, I just want to tell the listeners that this organization is truly the organization that walks the walk and talks the talk. That, you know, when a prisoner can't stand up for himself because he's afraid of the wardens and the employees and the other inmates, these are the guys that stand up for you when you want to be just a little bit more Jewish, and not just being more Jewish, but just being more of a man, that you could stand up to the rest of, you know, we're just a minority, especially in prison, the Jewish minority, and these are the Aleph Institute is really there to help the few Jews there remain and keep their identity. And you guys, like I said, you guys, Chabad and Aleph stand toe to toe with the powers to be to keep us Jewish prisoners safe.
Wow, you say, Ed, you got any personal experience to share over there?
Well, Mendy, you know me. I've come down to the auction a couple of times, and like I said, you guys helped me out so much to stay connected and Jewish, and the other Jewish prisoners also appreciated that you know, I was kosher when I walked into prison, I was kosher when I was in prison, and I was kosher when I walked out of prison.
That's really touching.
And,
wow.
It helps the connection and to be a little bit more, I can't say holy, but cognizant of the fact that, you know, we're in tough circumstances here, and Aleph helped us get through my tough circumstances.
So as we celebrate today the second Passover, which is a Yuntif today, it's the most famous Jewish holiday that you've never heard of, the second Passover, for those who never had the chance to observe the first Passover, for those that missed out, today we're celebrating the second Passover. We're celebrating second chances. We're celebrating the truth that it's never, ever too late. And what's amazing is, as Ed is calling us here from West Palm Beach, with the Aleph Institute director on the line, the organization dedicated to helping Jewish prisoners with all of their needs, spiritual and physical, here in the United States of America. It's interesting that, Ed, you're telling us that what gave you the strength to pick up yourself up and your second chance was really the Aleph Institute.
Absolutely. I mean, they,
what a message.
If you got disconnected, you know, even if you have, you know, when your freedom is removed, even for a short time, you can be so disconnected in a heartbeat, and to stay connected, that, you know, and or to reconnect. Let me also say, to reconnect, if you have, you know, if you could find one other fellow Jew that on Shabbos morning says, let's go read the Tanakh and have a discussion, you just stay connected.
Amazing.
And,
thank you, Ed.
And that's what I'll tell you, and I'll see you on Shabbos.
Awesome, awesome, Ed. Rabbi Katz, could you tell us a little bit what you do about with the military, what goes on over there?
Sure. So that's a beautiful beautiful part of my work. In fact, when we started getting more involved with the military, this was around 1995. I was like, you know, we have so much work with the prisons. Why are we getting involved in the military? It's just overwhelming. But so I was a little hesitant, a little skeptical. But you know, it's come. We've grown so much and done so much with the military. It's really amazing work where you have Jewish kids joining the military on their own accord, you know, not being drafted, and choosing to fight for our country and choosing to put their lives on the line to keep us safe.
Rabbi Katz, are you still there with us?
Yeah. Yes, and we get to help them. We get to support them. It's just so beautiful to send, you know, Hamantash into a ship in the Arabian Sea, or to send Shmura Masa to Iraq. It's just heartwarming, and
it's our brave warriors.
And it's really appreciated, and you know, it's amazing to be in touch with young Jewish men and women that are putting their lives on the line, and it's an honor to provide them with chumashim that are specially printed, camouflage and sidurim specially printed, and all kinds of
army edition,
all kinds of things specifically directed towards the military, and it's really an honor.
You don't want to camouflage the sitter too much, because then you want to make sure that they can find the sitter, because if it's blended in the environment, it might not be used too much. Rabbi Mendy Katz of the Aleph Institute is our guest this morning on the second Passover, the holiday that commemorates second chances and highlights our ability to always make amends, no matter what happens, and it is never too late. Rabbi Mendy Katz, before we let you go, a quick question for you. You mentioned before that the Rebbe's vision is that every human is created to become productive, to be productive at all times and at all places, and that prisons are unnatural for a human being to be inside of. What is the Rebbe's view, or your view, on prisons? Are they inhumane? And if so, what is the correct Jewish approach to rehabilitating those who have violated the rights of others?
So that's a, you know, complicated question, a sensitive question. I mean, there are definitely people who are unfortunately don't know how to behave properly, and, you know, have to be taken out of society because we can't, you know, allow someone to keep on stealing and killing and raping and so on and so forth. So there are definitely people that belong in prison that need to be kept separate from society. That doesn't mean that they should be put in a type of environment where they can't be productive. I mean, we could find ways for people to be productive. In Jewish religion, we have something called an Arei Miklat, the city of refuge, where when someone was sentenced to the city of refuge, his teacher had to come with him, his family had to come with him, and so on and so forth, because there was no place in Torah for a person just sitting, being warehoused and being locked away in a room. But for those that are not violent and for those that are not predators, no, Torah does not believe in prison as a punishment. There are different punishments in Torah, and prison is not one of them.
So you're saying effectively the Torah speaks about exile, that you have to go live in exile somewhere where you're limited to a certain geography, but there you can live like a normal human being in the confines of that city.
Correct. So prison is not in the lexicon of Torah as a punishment. There are
Amazing.
Punishments of, you know, paying double and triple and four times. You know, if someone steals,
there's even ashes.
Instead of putting him in prison and costing society another $50,000 a year, make that person pay back double, or make that person pay back four times, which is a much better punishment than him sitting and playing cards and watching
Based
TV.
On recent news, it sounds like if you send them to work in the Amazon factory warehouses, that might be punishment enough. Rabbi Mendy Katz from the Aleph Institute, thank you so very much for joining us here this morning. Do you have any closing comments before we let you go?
Just that, you know, the Rebbe's vision is so amazing how the Rebbe started talking about helping Jewish prisoners in the 70s, and here we are in 2018, and you know, there are thousands of Jewish prisoners studying Torah. There are 300 Jewish prisoners that get the Chayenu magazine every single week and read it from cover to cover. There are 1,000 Jewish prisoners that are taking correspondence courses in Jewish subjects. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of Jewish prisoners that have received tefillin from Aleph and put it on every single day. So, you know, the Rebbe's vision continues. And the same thing with the military. I mean, the Rebbe was personally involved in reaching out to the military, because the Rebbe did that when he was still, before he was Rebbe, when he was working for his father-in-law during World War II. There were probably 500,000 Jewish service members in the United States military, and 3 out of the 10 mission statements of Lubavitch, of America's Leon Echinuch, was to reach out to soldiers. So the Rebbe's work continues. Even the Rebbe personally ran the military campaign until he passed, until he got sick in 1992. And it's our honor and merit to continue his work. The Rebbe personally sent out Shmorah Matzah, personally sent out tefillin to military personnel, and that was very, very dear to his heart, and it's our honor. And
what a phenomenal example of unconditional love. Normally, we like to love people that deserve our love, but how often do we love people that don't deserve our love or might not deserve our love? This is a phenomenal example of what true Avas Yisrael is, loving your fellow Jew just because he's your brother, not because of his achievements or accolades, but in fact, quite the contrary, despite his bad choices, to be able to love your brother and sister just because they're your brother and sister. What a great example and meditation for us to be able to apply in our personal lives. Rabbi Mendy Katz, thank you so very much for joining us here this morning. God bless you in your holy work and being able to reach out to our brave warriors in dark places of danger, and to our brothers and sisters who are in distress in the prisons. Thank you. We'll be right back right after this with a powerful meditation that we can extract from the holiday of Pesach Sheni, of the second holiday, and how we are supposed to face our demons and our bad choices of yesterday. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is the sound of happy children. It's how we believe kids should feel about Hebrew school. At Chabad Hebrew School, learning is always fun, and kids don't want to miss a day. Give your children the greatest gift of all, the gift of a strong Jewish identity through a solid Jewish education. Sundays, 10 a.m. to noon at Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens. See it to believe it. Call us at 561-624-2223 to schedule an appointment. That's 561-624-2223 or 561-6-CHABAD, C-H-A-B-A-D, or online at jewishgardens.com. Chabad Hebrew School. Teach them today for a brighter tomorrow.
Are you confused or just plain bored by the new tax laws? The professionals at Zachary Financial Consultants have studied every line of the 1,000-page bill and know all the ways that you can benefit from it, as well as all of the hidden traps you need to avoid. If you're a business owner, you may be able to save tens of thousands of dollars in taxes. But in order to take advantage of them, you may have to make some changes. The professionals at Zachary Financial Consultants can easily guide you through these muddy waters. Having over 37 years of financial experience, the staff at Zachary Financial Consultants include CPAs, certified financial planners, and attorneys. They regularly assist their clients in making sure they're maximizing their after-tax investment performance, that their families are adequately protected in case of a catastrophe, and in providing a customized financial plan which they help to implement and monitor. At Zachary Financial Consultants, every client is treated with personalized care as if they were part of the family. You can speak directly with the CEO, Mitch Zachary, at 561-508-8446 or email him at mzachary@zacharyfinancial.com. They are conveniently located in Palm Beach Gardens and they offer free consultations. That's Zachary Financial Consultants, 561-508-8446.
Lease up to luxury retirement living at the Stephen and Petra Levin Tower at Morse Life. The tower is all about indulgence and luxury, redefining retirement living with amenities that are second to none. Fine dining, a pampering spa, golf memberships, tennis, concierge services, and walking paths for your pet are among the pleasures of living at the tower. For a lifestyle that's first in its class, call 800-49-TOWER or visit morselifetower.com and secure your choice of floor plans today.
Are you retired or nearing retirement? By now you probably realize that nest egg you had set up is not nearly enough to carry you through retirement. Here's some good news. They specialize in retirement planning, estate planning, income taxation, and investment strategies for people who are retired or approaching retirement looking for ways to maximize their income. It's not too late to get on the right track to financial freedom. Mark Linsky has been a financial advisor since 1986 and carries a certified financial planner's designation and all the tips, tools, and secrets you need to find financial stability. They also focus on 401k plans and passive real estate solutions. So whether you're retired, nearing retirement, or just want to stay ahead of the game, contact Mark Linsky to set up your consultation. 561-328-7391. That's 561-328-7391. US 1 and Donald Ross, right in Juneau Beach.
Investment Group is an independent firm with securities offered through Summit Brokerage Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Summit Financial Group, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Welcome back to The Rabbi and the CEO. Watch the show live on Facebook, facebook.com/gardensrabbi. Now, back to your hosts, Rabbi Dovid Vigler and CEO Mitch Zachary.
Separating the facts from the fiction, the Bubba Mises from the bottom line, you're listening to The Schmooze with The Rabbi and the CEO. Mitch Zachary is out of town this week. Filling in for him is CEO of Lapcom Communications, Steve Lapa, our producer. And we are celebrating the Festival of Second Chances. The Festival of It is Never, Ever Too Late. And that is the second Passover, which is today, 30 days after the first Passover, for those in biblical times who were unable, for whatever reason, to be able to observe Passover properly the first time round. It's never, ever too late for all of your mistakes. And I want you to realize, Steve, that one of the founding principles of Jewish spirituality is the doctrine of divine providence. The doctrine of Hashgacha Pratis, which means that as opposed to the erroneous view that God might have created the world thousands of years ago and then taken a hike or a holiday somewhere, God actually continues to create the world at every single instant in time. That's the doctrine of perpetual creation, where God continues to create the world at every single instant in time. And since God is benevolent, since God is exclusively good, therefore everything that happens to us is by divine design. Nothing happens to us by mistake. Everything happens to us for a reason. Not just for a reason, but whenever anything happens to us, it is actually good for us. Can you relate to that, Steve?
Yeah,
it's deep.
It's an age old idiom, right? I mean, we've learned that since we were born, that it's basheret. It's meant
basheret,
to be,
right? Exactly. Basheret means it's meant to be.
Meant to be.
Sometimes we see how it's meant to be, and sometimes it's going to take a little longer. Like my wife always says, everything's going to be good in the end. If it's not good, it means it's not the end. If you look back at all the mistakes, at all the bad experiences of your life so far, think about it. Think about it deeply, and you'll see that somehow, in some weird kind of way, it actually worked out in a way that brought you to where you are today. What didn't kill you somehow made you stronger. I'm not trying to mitigate the tragedies. I'm not trying to condone bad things that happen to people, God forbid. But when we look at it from a bird's eye view, from 40,000 feet, we look down and we say, you know, what I thought was going to be so traumatic actually didn't turn out to be as bad as I thought. This is the meditation, the doctrine of divine providence. It's called Hashgacha Pratis. Sometimes we call it Basheret, which just means meant to be or predestined. Everything is that happens to us is being guided by the hand of God. So when you look at the mistakes of yesterday, when you realize, oh yeah, did I mess up with the relationship with my mother-in-law, with my mother, with my brother? When you think about that, you say, you know what? You got to sort of dust yourself off and say, whatever happened, happened. Whatever was meant to be, was meant to be. And it made me the person who I am today. It made me the sensitivity. Maybe the reason why you're so sensitive to that relationship today is because of the trauma that you experienced back then. And now is your opportunity to get up to bat and to make a significant difference. So instead of wallowing in depression over the past, instead of just falling into a rut, the doctrine of divine providence reminds us, strengthens us, with the ability to face the demons of yesterday and to say somehow they were meant to be. It wasn't by chance. It wasn't random. It wasn't by mistake. It was meant to be. And it made me the person who I am today. And today is our chance to stand up and be counted, to make a difference.
Doesn't it take a lot of inner strength to push yourself to the point where you just don't give in to the bad things and you move your mind to the point where you're able to say something good will happen? Where does that strength come from?
I believe it comes from faith. And I don't know, like we had Governor Mike Huckabee last week on the radio show, whose archived show, by the way, is available on our website at jewishgardens.com. That's jewishgardens.com for the archive of last week's show with Governor Mike Huckabee. It's like he said, you cannot ever divorce your faith from the way you live your life. In America, people like to say, oh yeah, you know, you got to keep your faith out of this conversation. And it's not true. It's who I am. It's like leaving my pants out of this conversation. It's my identity. It's who I am. I cannot leave a portion of my identity out of the conversation. Faith is a part of who we are. And like the governor said it so eloquently, let's not be embarrassed to identify as our faith, as Jewish people, and to embrace and say, yes, there is a God. And there is a God who cares for me and who loves me. And that God is my Father. And that God is creating me at every instant in time. And that God is benevolent. And my Father in heaven sends me only the good things that I need to be experiencing, even if I don't always see that truth right away. So I think that with a strong faith, with an unapologetic faith, with our ability to overcome our inhibitions, to be able to face the mockers, the scoffers in our society, in our culture, the people who we think might make fun of us if we start to believe gossip. You know, what's going to happen? So what? You know, you can identify your faith and embrace your faith and say, yes, I believe in the doctrine of divine providence. I believe that God is watching over me every single step of the way. And I think that's what's going to give you the strength to be able to overcome. Is that realistic, Steve? Do you think that that's a little bit too out there in the sky, or it's doable?
I think it needs to be reinforced.
And what do you mean?
Every day, I think you need to have the courage and you need to have the vision to be able to correct yourself. It's sort of like a self-governing situation, right? I mean, you have to have the ability internally to say there's good here, there's good that will come. And you're right. I mean, that comes from faith, but that needs to be recharged every day.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. And this is the reason why we pray every single day. A lot of people ask me and say, Rabbi, I prayed yesterday. When God answers me, then I'll pray again. I prayed last year. He still hasn't answered me. We don't pray because we're begging for stuff. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is recalibration. It's making sure that today I am bracing myself for the shock, for the impact of the trauma that might come my way, that I'm spiritually prepared, that I'm bracing myself for impact. That's why we pray, to realign our faith with our reality. A powerful meditation on today's Jewish holiday, which is the second Passover, to be able to fix our mistakes, to be able to face our demons, and to say that tomorrow will be a completely different experience. Thank you so much for joining me here this morning, Steve. In Mitch's absence, I think you did a phenomenal job. And to all of our listeners, don't be afraid. Don't carry the baggage of yesterday. Let it go. It was meant to be. And enjoy the now. Live in the moment. The power of now. From strength to strength. Let's make it a great, wonderful day. Shalom, and we'll see you next week.